sorry, I got disconnected. I pushed the wrong button. But I am back on, Baruch Hashem. So, Dr. Brake, you can now hear me, I hope. Oh, good. We are in the Gemara on Tav. Guess he's telling me that he can hear me. We are in the Gemara on Tav. Kuf Chesem and Beis. And Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yaisi said that there was a machlokes, what shaila did they ask Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? Rav said that the shaila they asked them was if a miyun cancels a get, left one person with a get and the second one was a miyun, can she go back to the first one? Do we say that she was never married to the second one or not? That was the shaila. That is what they asked him, and he said, Aser. Shmuel Bar Yaisi said that is not true. That wasn't the shaila. The shaila was his paternal brother married his shnia, which means Shimon married Reuven's mother's brother's wife. Shimon married Reuven's mother's brother's wife, which is a shnia to Reuven. And she's a ketana. She's a ketana. So that means she married Reuven's brother's mother's brother as a ketana. She's still a ketana, right? So she was a ketana at her first marriage, and she's a ketana at the second marriage. Now, if she does miyun now, theoretically, Reuven can do a yibum to Shimon's other wife. But at this point, it's a tzaras shnia. But she can remove the shnia by doing yibum, by doing miyun. Now, by erva, we don't allow that. We had this svara called niris ketzaras chalasai, meaning niris ketzaras bitai. We had a svara that if at the time of death it was an erva, even though she could do miyun and remove the erva, at the time of death, it looked like a tzaras erva, so we don't allow yibum. That's what we said. But this is not an erva. This is a shnia. The whole thing is rabbinic. So we're dealing with a bunch of drabanans. The marriage is a drabanan to a woman that's a shnia, which is a drabanan, and she can do miyun and make it not as if she was never married. Do we allow that or not? That was the shaila they asked Rabbi Akiva. I hope I explained myself clearly. So let's read it inside. The last narrow line, Kuf Ches Amud Beis. Baram Kach Shalom. This is what they asked. Harishahaisa Eishis Achi Imai. She's Nealai. She was his mother's brother's wife, Zekhtana, which is a Shnea. And she got divorced or widowed from the mother's brother. Benasa Achav Me'aviv, that his paternal brother married the little girl who had been his mother's brother's wife, Umeis. And now the paternal brother died. And he has a chiyuv yibum to the other wives of his brother. Biblical chiyuv yibum. But the problem is, at this point, the woman, one of the wives of Shimon, is a shnia, a rabbinic shnia in a rabbinic marriage. Mao shetimoy and hashtam, the critter of the soul kamoi, but the siabim. Can she get yibum? Because if she does miyun now, she's not a shnia. And if she's not a shnia, so she's his brother's wife, she's going to be like in the original marriage. There's a big shaila whether she should be gairus tsarasa now. Are we asking that she should get yibum? Or are we asking that her tsara should get yibum? Either way, it's the same kind of a shaila. She can uproot her original marriage that she was married to his mother's brother, and now she's not a shnia, so you can do yibum. Or do we say you can't do that because at the time of death it looked like a tzara shnia and a shnia, and you can't do yibum? Yesh mi elachem yisum b'makim b'tzvah ilan. Sachu shnei b'nei adem bar b'mei zuz. They hired two people for 400 zuz. Ubo v'shalu shebekibim b'mei sasurim v'asar. Shebudim b'mezer b'tzivim v'asar. Rashi. Dr. Rashi. Eishas achio eim shnia medivrei seifrim. It is a secondary, meaning it's a rabbinic erva. Gzeirim mishum eishas achio av shi erva. A father's paternal brother's priest's wife is an erva. So they offered a mother's brother's wife as a gzera. Ma'usha tamon b'nisua merishayna shalitei shniyaloi. Tisyabim. And she herself can have imam. Avu b'ishas de erva. Had this been a real erva, g'n'eshas ochim me'imai k'tana, u'meiz b'nosa ochim me'aviv, p'shitalon b'l'yosa mi'in d'lachim misa l'mishya erva li'avuma. We wouldn't allow this had this been a biblical erva, even though it was a rabbinic marriage. Meaning, let's say Reuven's maternal brother married a ktana and died, and Reuven's paternal brother now married her. We wouldn't say, do mia now with the original marriage, so she never was your maternal brother's wife. Because that we say, since at the time of death it looks like an erva, we don't allow mia to remove that. But that's because it was a biblical erva, albeit applied rabbinically, because it was a rabbinic marriage, but it's a biblical erva. Here it's a shniyah. It's a lesser form of Isser. So maybe we can remove it through Mian, and she becomes as if she was never married to his mother's brother.
Rashi started that. We're talking about, could be we're talking about Sarah?
Talking about the girl herself.
Oh, wait.
And the Sarah also, but at least the girl herself.
Sarah would be more...
It would be easier to be Mater.
Right.
Yeah, but the Gemara seems Rashi's not going with Sarasa. So therefore the Shalva. Period. Nothing about that. Okay, so now let's go back to what we talked about yesterday. Again, let's talk about it. Let's take it. I'll try to explain it the best of my ability. Reuven married a ktana, divorced her. A non-related person, Dan, married the same ktana as she did Mion. Married to Reuven, who divorced her. She married Shimon, or Dan, non-related, no brothers here, no Yibum, and did Mion. Can she go back to Reuven? So we had a machlokes tanoim in that. And Rav said that she cannot. And the reason for that was given was because if she could, we're afraid Reuven will intervene in the second marriage. He divorced her. He has charata that he divorced her. She never wanted to leave. He kicked her out. She married somebody else. She's going to try to get her to do Mian to the second guy so he can remarry her. He's going to get involved in ruining the second marriage. That was the svara, the Gemara said, of why we would not allow her to go back to Reuven. That, the Gemara said.
I mean, if that's a good svara, so how about a regular gerushin? Forget about any kind of Mian. He has charata that he married. I mean, what?
He divorced her,
and he's gonna try to.
It's a mouth to Grishasa, he can't take her back. Once she marries somebody, he can't take her back. Here, it's a Mian, therefore, it's not a marriage.
And from a Kedushin, can't do that either, right?
That's a Machlokes. Pashtus, it's more to take back. But I think it's a machlokes. But the bottom line is it doesn't make a difference because that's not mustaber that he's going to... Again, it's more than that. He's got to get her second husband to divorce her. It's much harder than to get her to be Mayan. He offers her a nice doll, she'll be Mayan. Offers her a doll, the husband's not divorcing her. Now the question of the Gemara is, how about marrying Reuven's brother? She was married to Reuven who divorced her. She married some stranger. And it doesn't mean she cannot go back to Reuven. That's because we don't want Reuven to get involved in the marriage. How about can she marry Reuven's brother? The talk didn't talk about, not Yibum. Stop, marry his brother. She does, what? Why not? Talk to Gemara. Amr of Yitzchak Bar Shion. Moida Av Shemuteres La'achav Shoset. Even though Rav says if she does Mian to the second husband, she cannot go back to the first husband, but she can go back to the first, she can marry the first husband's brother.
Wait, that's because Mian happened in the middle?
Yes.
Because we got permission of a straight get, you can't marry Krovan.
Correct. But Mian removed that. It didn't remove it vis-a-vis remarrying the first husband because of a fear that he might mess up her marriage. But really, it removed get. Whenever a woman does miyun, she's acting kind of like. That means nothing was valid till now. We had a special gzeirah that said, we don't let her go back to the first husband because you don't want her to intervene in the marriage.
Not like an extension of him.
That fact, the Gemara Pshita, who knew the Melkeres Berimayis of a Kutsaisov? He's the one that can, what was the word he used? Remains of and gestures and lip movements. There's nothing to be afraid about the brother. He's not going to persuade her to do mian. He wasn't her husband. It's not like he can entice her with using the fact that they were once married and he knows how to handle her. But the Gemara Ma'adatayma Ligzer Haya Tuhai Mashmallah. We might think, as Baruch Moshe pointed out, can't marry. If she's a Grusha, she can't marry his brother. Right? And we did consider her a Grusha. What did I do wrong now? I'm not sure, Dr. Bray, what you mean. What, I skipped Vassar, should be Yehuda ben Maseir ben Tzivin for Vassar, those words? Fine.
Yes.
Yeah, should be Yehuda ben Maseir ben Tzivin and the Yasser. Anyway, bottom line, back to the Gemara. Again. So, Kamash Malan, that we don't make that Gezeira. Ikud the Amram Ravitzka Barashian, some say he said the opposite way. That Amarav, Shem Shasur Loi, Kach Asur La'achim. We don't let her marry the guy's brother. She doesn't understand his, what was it again?
Gestures
and lip movements. Again, we wanted to get the message across. You're not going back to your first husband and to his family. That was like an extension of that Zera. Rashi. Dr. Rashi Pshita. We didn't even answer him. Since she recognizes his gestures, marry a brother, that means she's not a divorcee. He'll come to marry her. We don't make the gzera. The second lesson says we do make the gzera.
So either way, it's a problem.
The machloek is two lashanks. Okay, now we get involved in another machloekis, which there will be number of interpretations, I believe three, in explaining the machloekis in this Mishnah. Look the Mishnah. Hamagarish es ha'isha v'chzira. A person divorced a woman, took her back. Biblical marriage. Reuven married Rachel. Divorced her. Remarried Rachel. Perfectly legal.
No other husband.
Reuven died. Shimon, no children. The Shimon do Yibum. His brother died without children. But brother had been married to this woman for once and divorced her. At that point, she was Grushas Achiv, and she was Asir to Shimon. Then he remarried her, and now he died. Is there a mitzvah of Yibum or not? Muteris Liyavim. Tanakama says, Muter Liyibum, because we go by the fact that he died without children. It's his brother's wife who died without children. The fact that she was once divorced has no impact. We look at the time of death. At the time of the death, it's a brother's wife without children. There's a mitzvah of Yibum. Rabbi Lazar Eiser, and the Gemara will have three interpretations of Rabbi Lazar. Lazar says, we do not allow Yibum. End of story. So, we'll talk about it in the Gemara. Rashi. Lataris Liyabim, but I mean in the Suan Harishayim Apilim Yibam of Liyabim. We don't say that we look at the original marriage. Was the original marriage going to have Yibum? And the answer is no, because he divorced her. We don't say, look at that. And when he divorced her, that banned her from his brother. We don't say that. We say, look at now. She's his brother's wife, and therefore there's a mitzvah of Yibum. Meaning, to explain that. Let me explain that. Because the bottom line, she was Grusha Sachiv. but she was also his brother's wife. And the Torah said there's a mitzvah of Yibum on your brother's wife. So the fact that he divorced her at one point, what difference does it make? I don't get it. Same brother's wife. Is it same Eishesach? Grushas Achiv is Eishesach. The Torah removes Eishesach for Yibum. At one point, there was no Yibum. I don't care what happened at one point. At the time of death, a brother died, married to a woman, with no children, there's a mitzvah of Yibum. Well, he wasn't allowed to remarry her.
No, the question would be,
if he's a Kayan, then his brother's a Kayan too.
No, no, how about a third party Kohen?
So she's a Chayv Lavan.
Another Kohen, she Grusha for Kuhuna?
Why not? Why not?
He remarried her.
But it was a biblical get.
Okay, all right, so that doesn't, the new marriage doesn't take off the old get.
It doesn't take off the old get. But it's still his brother's wife. It's no more usher second marriage, the first marriage, the first marriage, the second marriage. Bottom line is, every brother's wife is usher. But the Torah made a mitzvah of Yibum.
Oh, only because of that. All right, that's the thing that's going
to... So
what,
the Kohen
and
what?
She's a Grusha.
She didn't lose that.
Why is it?
If
he took it off by this case.
He didn't take anything off. What did he take off?
He took off the fact that you can't marry Achaz.
You can't marry your brother's wife. It's the same mitzvah. Marrying your brother's divorcee is the same mitzvah as marrying your brother's wife.
It's not like two
laws. There's no two surim, one for a brother's wife and one for a brother's divorcee. A brother's divorcee is a brother's wife. But there's no Yibum. There would be no mitzvah of Yibum. It's the same erva. There's no law. I'm trying to figure out what's bothering people here. Forget a Kayan. There's nothing to do with a Kayan.
I understand, but I'm just trying to understand why that would be problematic. If it wipes it out, because right now,
it doesn't wipe it out.
Yeah, Yibum.
What is the issue of Grusha? Why not?
Why not? Because the Torah says.
The Torah never said don't marry your brother's divorcee. The Torah said don't marry your brother's wife.
She remains his brother's wife forever, even after.
Whether he dies with children, whether he divorces her, this is your brother's wife. That's the issue. Which Yibum says, don't worry about. It's not a separate Isser. This is the Isser. Marrying a brother's wife. There's no lav. It's all chorus. There's no extra lav. I'm glad you're sticking up for Dr. Harris. He can Baruch Hashem handle himself.
That means they have to still put out an ad for him?
Exactly. Now I will point this out because it's going to be in the Gemara in the Gemara. Way back when on Daf Yud Gimel, and again on Daf Lamed or around there, we had a concept called Nisuim Rishayim and Mapilim that said, "Don't look at the time of death. Look at the whole marriage. Was there ever a point when Yibum was off the table?" If that's true, then over here there would be no mitzvah of Yibum. Again, don't mix things up. Let's keep things... Again, we had a Mandi Amar that said, Nisuin Rishayim Mapilim. Don't look at the time of death. Look through the whole marriage, from beginning to end. Was there a time that Yibum was not an option? If there was, then there can never be a mitzvah of Yibum. That's what one Mandi Amar holds. We don't look at the whole marriage. We look at the moment of death. Lamashal, let's say Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter and to another woman, and he divorced Shimon's daughter, and he died. Shimon can do Yibum. It's not a Taras Erva. Even though during the lifetime of the marriage, at one point she was a Taras Erva. I don't care. At the moment of death, she's eligible for Yibum. I don't study the marriage all the way from the beginning. There was a man the Amar that said, Nisuim Rishayim Mapilim. You look at the whole marriage, and if at any point, Mapilim means drops her to Yibum, and if at any point she wasn't eligible for Yibum, she never again becomes eligible for Yibum. If you learn that way, then this Mishnah would not be pshat. And that could be pshat in Rabbi Elazar. It's one of the three options the Gemara offers. But, okay, now we move to case number two. Hamagarish Yisayma. A guy married a ketana. He married a ketana rabbinically. And he divorced her. Zek Zero, he took her back perfectly legally. Again, a ketana.
Biblical?
Ketana. Yisayma.
Rabbanan.
And he married her a second time. And now I don't care what her age is. I don't care if she's still a ketana or she grew up. Bottom line is, she's Reuven's wife. She was Reuven's wife. He divorced her. He took her back. I don't care if the second marriage was ketana or exila. Doesn't bother me. She was married to him as a ketana. He divorced her. He remarried her. And now he died. Can Shimon do Yibum? The answer is yes. Mutaris Liyavim. Again, at the moment of death, she's Reuven's wife. It is a mitzvah of Yibum. Reb Elazar writes her. We don't know Pshat and Reb Elazar. But Reb Elazar says she was once upon a time divorced, even though only rabbinically. But the bottom line is she was divorced. So it's the same as the first case. We don't know Pshat in the first case. We don't know Pshat in the second case. But the same argument that holds in the first case holds in the second case.
Now, what would happen in that case in that Megarish with Mia?
No, then Reb Elazar would agree, theoretically. He would agree. They were never married. They were never married.
She uprooted the marriage.
Did we say that?
In the same husband, everybody agreed Mia uprooted the marriage. Rashi, Bechera Megarish Yisrael Mekitana, Shisiyo, Shisiyo, Imo Vachiyo. Her mother or brother married her off. Rav Zira ben b'katnusa ben b'katnusa mutaris liyavim. Kedamar, the misa mapelas. V'shas misa yisa ishtan. Now we move to third case. Tana shisiyo aviyah v'nizgar shisayim b'chayav. Rav Zira, divri alkohol asur liyavim. Let me explain this. Tana, her father married her off. That was a biblical marriage. He divorced her. He took her back rabbinically. He divorced her biblically. He took her back rabbinically, and he died. She's his rabbinic wife, but biblically, she's his divorcee. Again, Reuven married a girl biblically, a six-year-old. The father was Makabel Kedushin. He's biblically married to this little girl. He divorced her. At this point, the father can never marry her off again. She went. And she married herself off rabbinically to the same man. So now, she's a rabbinic wife of the man she had once been a biblical wife to. And now he died. Shimon can't do Yibum. It's his brother's divorcee. She's not his brother's wife. It's his brother's divorcee. Because, biblically, his brother divorced her.
Is she still Kana now?
Yes.
But his wife.
Rabbinically.
By the
because biblically, she's his divorcee. She's not his wife biblically. She's only his wife rabbinically. And his rabbinic mitzvah of Yibum cannot overrule an Erva Midiraisa.
Do we? And when she gets a Gedola and...
Well, we'll worry about that when we get there.
Yeah, but what's the whole thing about... Look always at Shas Misa.
Well, here, Shas Misa... She's not married to his brother biblically.
So it's not a
no,
it's not a it's not a cure all. It's not a.
Well,
Shabbisa, okay. Shabbisa, so there's
also rule.
You know, it's not.
Is there any chalitza requirement?
Probably yes, because rabbinically she's married to him.
Mazrela shook Rabbi Rabbanan.
Yeah, Rashi. The Rashi kana shesia aviyah v'nizgar shabekatnusa. The kibbul of Yagita and her father took her get, which is a machlokes. But Rashi learns that way. Because I'm prepared Narish and Spatata, like it says in Narish and Spatata, period. At that moment, she becomes an orphan in the lifetime of her father. It means her father no longer has any rights. Even though her father is alive, he no longer has the power to be makabor kedushin. If you marry her off, father has no rishos. If he died when she was still a ketana. Even according to the Rabbanan, who the first two cases said there is a mitzvah of Yibum, but over here they gave a shell, gave a shingamurin. Her divorce was a biblical divorce. Her remarriage was not recognized as a complete remarriage because the Kedusha Ketana ain't him klum. Biblically, it's nothing. She remains biblically divorced. Correct. Now we have to figure out, why isn't the Tanna Kamma right? Why is there no mitzvah of Yibum in case one and in case two?
Case one,
he married her, he divorced her, he remarried her, and he died. Amr Eifa. Eifa is the name of a Chacham, Rashi says. Amr Eifa, Shem Chacham.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
The last Rashi said, she's a grusha.
She's biblically divorced.
So, when you say hechzira,
took her back rabbinically.
Did anybody else marry her?
No.
He's the only one that can marry her.
Can anybody else marry her? Yes, why not? Why not?
After he divorced her?
After he divorced her, why not? I thought you were asking me, did anybody else marry her?
No. Not a good question.
There's no such thing as not a good question.
I didn't think it.
All questions are good questions. Some have easier answers, some have harder answers, that's all. Am I right?
Everywhere he says it's right. Every speech he says it's great.
What do you want from me now? Like, what am I? I'm an Eifa. My time is Reb Lazer. Why does Reb Lazer say no Yibum? The answer is Hayo Va'amda Olav Sha'achas B'Yisura, because it was once Aser. We look at their whole marriage from the beginning of their relationship to the end. There was a time that Yibum became a non-option.
She was divorced,
and therefore, since it became a non-option, it never kicks back in. She is considered Eishes Ach without a mitzvah of Yibum. Frak the Gemara, Amrile Rabbanon La'Eifa, these Rabbanon are Maroyim. They said to Eifa, Yogi Chalitza Namiloy Tiboy. So why does she need Chalitza? Rabbi Elazar asks Yibum, Mashma, that there is a mitzvah of Chalitza. Why? She's an Erva, Pater from Chalitza. Dr. Gemara, V'chitei Mahachinami, and you're going to tell me maybe Rabbi Elazar means no Chalitza? Tanya Mishum Rablazer Amru Chaletzis. The Bryce explains Rablazer saying she does get Chalitza. Now, if you're telling me biblically there's no mitzvah of Yibum, so why is there a mitzvah of Chalitza? Any Erva that biblically doesn't go to Yibum doesn't get Chalitza except for one exception. Remember, we said that a long time ago. Rabbinically, you have many Ervas that can't have Yibum can have Chalitza. But biblically, Kosh ain't a little Yibum, ain't a little Chalitza. So why is she getting Chalitza? Kain Gadol in Amana. Well, if it's biblical, why is there chalitza?
Biblical that she can't marry her.
Because if you hold Nesum Rishayna Mapilim, that means there was no mitzvah of Yibum here, biblically.
So what's the problem? The chalitza is the problem.
Why?
Because
the other Erva, it doesn't make a difference because she's an Erva. She's anxious to without the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, so you want to make up your Gezeres, I'm fine, but let's give the Gemara a chance to make up its own Gezeres. I mean, I don't mind if people want to answer Gemara's kash, it's great. And for the Gemara, Elama Eifa, Reb Lazer, Lo Yadana, my timer. I have no chat in Reb Lazer. Very unusual for the Gemara to bring that down, but it happens. We have it very rarely. Eifa threw his hands up and said, I don't know chat. Rabbi said, I have no problem. High new time with your blazer. He's not sure. He doesn't know whether you look at the time of the death or the whole marriage. If Mises Mapelis is a mitzvah of Yibum, the sooner he shayna mapilim, ha'amdal of Shachas v'eser. Therefore, he says, do chalitza, no Yibum. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what the halacha is, Reb Lazer. Doesn't know how to view this. So he says, we can't let Yibum because maybe it's aser. We have to require chalitza because maybe it's required. And therefore, he does chalitza, no Yibum. That's a biased translation. First shot in Reb Lazer. That means, to suffix, do we look at the whole marriage? Or do we only look at the time of death?
We've had this concept many times. When you don't know what to do, do chalitza.
So what is what's your question?
And I'm just saying, why the eighth?
Because he didn't think Rav Lazar was mesupik. He would assume Rav Lazar would know what shita he holds. Abayis being mechadesh, that a tana was mesupik. Rarely have a tana being mesupik in halacha. Usually, it's Rabbanan, Amarav, are mesupik. Tana should be mitzubik, it's a chiddush. That's what Abayi is mechadish.
He paskin that way because he was not sure.
Exactly. Rashi. Eifah shem chokham shu'achas v'issi grushis ochem shibikaras. Im mises ba'al ma'pelas v'yibum, o'kayach nesu'an arishaynim. What is the thing that falls to Yibum? Okay.
Ask a question on our left field.
You can ask about any field.
So, there's no bracha made for chalitza, right?
They make a bracha. If I watch the video after the chalitza, they made a bracha. B'lishem shame of Malchus. Bezin made a bracha without Hashem's name. Baruch Atah Melech Olam, and some nusach that we go in the laws of Avraham Avinu or something like that. Some effect.
So this is the question: when do they decide when to make a bracha on something and when not?
There's a whole. That's a very, very loaded question. It's a great question. There's a Tshuva Sarajva, there's an Avadram. This is like multiple shitas about which times you make a bracha. Why don't you make a bracha on tzedakah? But there's so many mitzvahs we don't make brachas on. So this is a subject in its own. For sure not answerable in the middle of a shiur. First of all, I would have to do a lot of research on it. But every mitzvah that we don't have a bracha, there has to be a reason why we don't make a bracha.
The reason I ask is because, whether it's a question if this is chalitza drabanan deraisa.
It's a deraisa, it's a suffix chalitza, does not mean drabanan.
Oh.
Suffix means it's a suffix deraisa. Nobody said a word about drabanan here. Rav Lazar says, I don't know. Is she obligated in yibum chalitza deraisa, or is she not obligated in either deraisa?
Sometimes we talk about doing chalitza midrabanan.
Yes.
That's what
we make. I don't know. I make a bracha on Hanukkah. That's a drabanan.
Because there's the drabanan, I guess.
Drabanan, whatever. Again, whatever the rules are for brachas, the rules are for brachas.
Gemara never addresses that.
What? How on when is it not so pashtus? Yeah, pashtus. I'm trying to make like this, but any right. Let's make a bracha. 100%. I'm not. Of course, we make brachas on drabanan.
Not Lubavitchers,
Lushainim have a problem with it. The Rambam has a problem
with
it.
Don't they have the chazan only saying the bracha?
There's three shitas about how Aura's Chaydish and the Rishainim. They're paskining like one of the shitas. The Gra also paskin not to say a bracha on how Aura's Chaydish, only the chazan. Not, I mean, Lubavitchers do it because the Rav Shulchan Aruch paskins like those shitas. Svardim don't make a bracha on how Aura's Chaydish. Think only the Baal Tfilah. The Rambam Zak. So the Gra hold that way, the Rav Shulchan Aruch hold that way. That's why the Lubavitchers do that. They also only make one bracha on tefillin. They don't make two brachas on tefillin. Rashi holds you only make one bracha on tefillin. And the Gra passes that way, the Rav Shulchan Aruch passes that way. People that do minhag Gra only make one bracha on tefillin, and the Lubavitchers only make one bracha on tefillin. So there's a lot of halachas.
So the Gemara does not address why and when they make brachas.
The Gemara does not address why and when they make brachas as a general rule, no. Because the bottom line is, it's a very hard general rule because there's so many specifics. But it's questionable whether chalitza is a mitzvah to begin with. Chalitza might not be a mitzvah, it might be a release. If it's only a release, you don't make a bracha. It's not a mitzvah. So machloek is whether chalitza is a mitzvah to begin with. What? Not so much. I mean, it's one. I think it's listed in one of the Chatayim mitzvahs. think so. I'm not sure. Yeah, there's a Tshuva Sarashva that the drum brings it in the Sefer about why certain mitzvahs get brachas and others not. And then, that's the basis. And from there on, there are many Rishonim that disagree in many of these details. There's many brachas that we don't make, many mitzvahs that we don't make brachas on. We make a bracha when we type a glass. It's only drabonon. We make a bracha. We make a lot of brachas in mitzvahs drabonon.
We do make a bracha on glass?
Yeah.
I always put glass together with something else.
That's because you want to do the right thing. 100% you make a bracha on glass. On things that are suffic, we don't make a bracha, like the, what's the name again?
China?
What are China made out of? China.
No, not Corel.
Corel.
Porcelain.
Porcelain.
Porcelain. Porcelain.
Glazed over Kli Charis. Kli Charis is not Chayiv and Tila, glazed over is a suffic, so we don't make a bracha. But in glass, we make a bracha, sure. The Drabana, Chiv Drabana, we make a bracha. That's the Gemara. The Rabbah Amar Loilim Shitil Rablazer Demisim Apelis. Rabbah says biblically here there's a mitzvah of Yibum. There's no doubt here. Blazer agrees that when the husband dies, we look at the moment of death, and at that point there's a mitzvah of Yibum. There's a mitzvah of Yibum. So why does Rablazer say no Yibum? Because Miu Hakol Bekiyim Begerishin Vein Hakol Bekiyim Bechazara. You never know. People might not know that he remarried her. They heard he divorced her, and now he died, and they see Yibum. They say, huh? They might not know that he remarried her. And therefore, people will say he died post-divorce without remarrying her. Why are they doing Yibum? To avoid that, we say no Yibum. Frech to Gemara, Kivin the Yasva to Adarabba, Chazara, Kivin the Yasva to say Yisla. If anything, he took her back. Everybody sees them living like husband and wife. What are you worried about? Sometimes he could remarry her and die the next morning, and nobody will know he remarried her. We can't start playing around. We don't know how long this remarriage is going to last. He might remarry her and live happily ever after for 100 years, and he might remarry her and die the next morning.
How likely is that?
Again, it's possible.
I know, but it's
Bayaz died the morning after he married Russ.
Give me another case on that one, Ruby.
Again, so therefore, Rava says rabbinically we don't allow Yibum because we're not sure that everybody will know there was a second marriage. Now, in many cases they will, and in some cases they won't.
They may think that there's Yibum on a divorce.
Yeah, Reuven divorced his wife, and Shimon is doing Yibum after Reuven dies, even though he divorced his wife. He never remarried her. They won't know about the remarriage.
So they'll say you had to do Yibum on a divorced wife.
Whose husband died afterwards?
Yes.
Reuven had to die.
I know.
He died after he divorced her. There's a mitzvah of Yibum. Because she was once his wife. That's what people will say. It's wrong. Rachi.
Who did Shaul left with?
Who? I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. Who came to him one night?
No, Shaul was supposed to wipe out the whole enemy.
Yeah, he left over Agag.
And then Agag.
He impregnated a woman that night, correct? It wasn't a marriage, it was his nurse in jail. That's number one. But, you know, the Bali Musar are very big on Bayas.
Right.
Meaning, imagine if you were at the water cooler the next morning or at the mikveh the next morning. People would have said, Bayas blew it. He married this Me'avis. We warned him not to marry this Me'avis. We warned him a million times. Why in the world is he marrying this Me'avis? We warned him. He was an auction. Look what happened. Rabbi Shimon punished him. The next morning, he's dead. That would have been the look at the water cooler for the Litvisha and the mikvah for the
Pesach. That was the look.
That wasn't. We don't know what happened. We're assuming that was the look. And the answer is, Malchus Beis David came from that. So that means, we can't judge.
Did he do it to
Not 100% a mitzvah yibum, but it was a mayavis. If it was usher, it would be usher. That was what Pliny Almighty or whatever his name was said. Tov. Tov, right. Lamash, this is
Nachlasi.
Doesn't matter. Right? That's what happened. So, you can't judge. As one of the Lubavitcher previous, I think the Mittal Rebbe once said, that, you know, somebody told them that somebody said that wherever you look, you should see godliness. So his son told him, I'm looking at my hand, and I see flesh. He said, the problem is not what you're looking at, it's what you're looking with. You're looking with flesh, so you see flesh. Fleisch Augen, in Yiddish. If you look with Fleisch Augen, you see flesh. If you look with Duchenne Augen, you see Kedusha. I said, the Baal Tanya's son. I said it to the Temach Tzedek. The Temach Tzedek was a kid. And he said to his father, how am I supposed to see godliness everywhere? I don't know, I see flesh. So his father told him, if you look with flesh, you see flesh. If you look with Kedusha.
That is beautiful. My opinion, Rebbe, that's
the same thing. I say my stuff, not someone else's stuff.
You go to speak to the girls.
Tell
them this.
They won't understand a word I'm talking about. 100%.
That's a beautiful
word. Is that flesh? That's mid flesh. You don't look for flesh, you see. It's a TV side. And Rav Gifter said the same side over from Russell Pagamansky. That the person that went to the museum and he saw this beautiful painting and he had sour milk in his glasses. He said, I see sour milk. I see sour milk. Hayisham Chokamecha, and I heard Rav Gifter say this so many times. Hayisham Chokamecha and said, check his glasses. If you look with sour milk, you see sour milk. It's the same you said. Except said in a different way in English. I heard it from Rav Gifter many, many, many times. I heard it from Rav many times, and I didn't hear him that often, but I heard him. Sorry, Mom. So this is the same thing. It's the same inside. Rashi. So that's what I meant by Bayaz. People who looked at Bayaz saw that. People who knew the halacha saw not that. Rashi. Milo Yitzkinon. Hakol Bekir Megarish and Zotrashi. Hakol Ryan Shagirsha. The Garish and Kala Islam. Garish and Ezekiel. Abchazara Leslie called the Zimna the Gemahadul Aburti brings you back at night to Shachar B'Tzavri night the next morning. Lechazi Inish B'Chazarasa. They don't see it taken back. Rami Zemi Yab Kusha Sachar. Milo Yaskina, Milo Yakaluk Manami Masisa Bocha, the Zimna the Abachi. Maybe it's that time. Okay. Ravashi Yamar, this is the third chat. Ravashi says, Hi, the time of your blazer.
Wasn't that the third chat?
No. Ava didn't know. I don't consider him a chat. He doesn't know. Is that a shot? What shot? I don't know. That's one shot? That's a nam shot. Hey, Abaya said the first shot, and Rava said the second shot. And Ravashi is going to say the third shot. And let me explain Ravashi. You notice in the Mishnah, the last case in the Mishnah, father married up his young daughter. She got divorced. She remarried rabbinically. Everybody agrees there's no mitzvah of yibum. She's not... Zucker Blazer, in every remarriage, we're afraid if we're going to let Yibum, people will think there's Yibum even if the second marriage was rabbinic and the first marriage was biblical. Since, in the case, when the father married her biblically and he divorced her and remarried her rabbinically, there's no Yibum, we said no Yibum by any remarriage because people will get confused with what kind of remarriage. In the last case of the Mishnah, there was a biblical marriage with a divorce followed by a rabbinic marriage. There, everybody agrees there's no mitzvah of Yibum. So if we allow Yibum by that, by any remarriage, people will think you can do Yibum by that remarriage also. Therefore, they said, no Yibum by any remarriage. Rashi Amar, Hainu Taimed, or Blazer, the Gazer Hanach, because he's geyser because of the last case. Rashi. The Gazer Hanuch, Kol Muchzeres, Gazer Mishim Yisayim B'Chayav, the Mamina B'Masnis in the Lager Gazeras Lahari Kegrusha. After he takes her back, she's like a Grusha. Dr. Gemara Chinami Misabra, Rav Ashi's chat makes sense. Why? But the Tani Sefer, because the last case of the Mishnah was, Tanish Yisi Aviv and Nizgarshi Kisayim B'Chayav. V'Chzira, right? Hi, my member. What's the chiddush of the last case? Shita. Obviously, she's not married to him biblically. Why should I think there's a mitzvah yibum? Ella lav hakamash mulan time with Rabbi Lazar the gazer hanach mishum ha'ishmamina. By bringing in the last case, we're explaining Rabbi Lazar. Since in the last case everybody agrees there's no mitzvah yibum because he was married biblically and got divorced, and she only remarried rabbinically. And it's obvious that there can't be a mitzvah yibum.
Everyone will know that.
So how can we allow yibum? She's not married to him biblically. So therefore, since the Mishnah brings that down to explain why did Rav Lazar ask her in the previous case? Because since there's this case, he made a gzera. And Rabbanan didn't make a gzera.
Why not bring that case first?
I don't know. Rashi. Her taking her back is not biblical. It tells it in the Mishnah to teach me that that's the reason of the first case is according to Rav Lazar.
What's the fear with the zero?
If we let remarriage have you, then people will think that when the first marriage is biblical, when the second marriage is rabbinic, there's also evil.
One more time.
If we allow a remarried woman to the same husband to have evil, again, everything derives. But if we allow that, people will say even if the second marriage is rabbinic, he can do evil. That's not allowed. So Rav Lazar says, no yibum by any remarriage. Gzeira. B'chalitziya. It's a gzeira drabana. You wanted to make a gzeira? Rav Ashi made up this gzeira.
I was thinking gzeira the other way. The reason they have to chalitza is because they shouldn't see a woman that's married just goes l'shuk with nothing.
Every erva goes to shuk with nothing.
Erva.
She's an erva.
But she was married to a brother that died.
But she was an erva.
But she never had. She has existing brothers. Why didn't they do chalitza or
evil? Again, I don't say. I don't say if Reuben's married to Shimon's erva.
It's evil.
That's not true. Reuben dies. There's no mitzvah evil. The tzara goes out with nothing. First mitzvah yivamas.
What erva is there here?
Ages akav grusha.
But he'd be married, right?
Again, why no yibum?
Why no yibum? Because everybody will know that she's divorced, that's why. I mean,
whatever no yibum is, there should be no chalitza. She's an erva. Anyway, tomorrow I'm going to have a...